This homily will flow more like a Bible study than a homily, because I want us to get us ready for the readings at Christmas. As we enter into these next couple of weeks of the Christmas season, we'll hear again and again about David. Phrases like the son of David, the city of David, the covenant with David, David's throne, and the genealogies, we'll see it centered on David. Why so much about David when we're talking about the birth of Christ? If we remember, the early Christians were all Jewish, and of course they had in their mind the Old Testament. They were steeped in the Old Testament. It was the categories they thought in and spoke in was the Old Testament. And so the New Testament writers, when they're writing down the accounts of Christ's life, keep this in mind. And so there's so many references to the Old Testament that it's key for us to be able to know the background to get a full grasp of what's occurring and why it's so important. Why it's so important that Jesus be seen as the new David. And if we want to find in the Old Testament the key passage of this, we go to the 2 Samuel chapter 7. And what's happening here is God is speaking to David through the prophet Nathan. And he's making a promise to him. And this is the promise that he makes. I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And so this idea that the Davidic line, the line of David, would never pass away, that there would be this new king, this anointed one. Meshiach is what it was, the word they used, meaning Messiah, the anointed. For David was anointed as king. You remember Samuel came and anointed him with the oil, making him who he is. And so there's this promise that's passed down through the Jewish, through the scriptures, saying that there will be this line of David that will not pass away. Now think about the Jews at the time of Jesus. It had been centuries since there had been a king in the line of David. And in fact, King Herod, not only was he not in the bloodline of David, he wasn't even a real king. He was serving Caesar. And so there had to be this thought in their mind, did God forget us? How could he have given us these promises 1,000 years ago? And now it's been centuries since we've ever seen a king in the line of David. And so in the lines leading up to this gospel that we hear this morning, it's when Gabriel appears to Mary. And during that conversation, he tells her this. He says of Jesus, and this is Luke recording this, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. It's nearly word for word what God had told David in that second book of Samuel. And so Luke's pointing out Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise that all of Israel has been waiting on for centuries and centuries. And where will this Messiah be born? If you come to the midnight mass tomorrow night, you'll hear the reading that speaks of the birth of Jesus. And it'll point out, Luke goes to extremes to point out that he'll be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, why is that so important? Because all the Jews knew that the prophecy of Micah was that the anointed would be born in Bethlehem. We just heard that in the first reading. That first reading is from 700 years before Christ. And it says Jesus will be born, or the Messiah from you, Bethlehem, will come the ruler of Israel. And his greatness will extend to the ends of the earth. This was not a prophecy of any normal king, especially of Israel. It's a backwater country. This king would have an extension to the ends of the world, and his name would be Peace. He would bring peace. But the Old Testament points out that the Messiah will not only be a priest, but also a priest. And that's why St. Paul in that second reading was talking about the priestly nature. How do we know this about David? David was king and priest. It's only hinted at about David, but it's a very clear hint that the Jewish people would have picked up like that. And probably the most clear One is probably a story you remember from the Old Testament. It's when King David is bringing the ark into Jerusalem. You know, it's been 3 months sitting at the house of Obed-Edom up in the hill country. King David has them bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. We're told that he's leaping with joy, dancing before the ark. But it describes what he's dressed in. It says he was wearing a linen ephod. And to us, that doesn't mean much. But let's think if I was telling you that I saw a person and I described them as being dressed in a chasuble. If you forget, this is what a chasuble is, what I'm wearing. It's the priestly garment. If I were to tell you I saw this person and they were wearing a chasuble, you would say, oh, he's a priest. But that's what a linen ephod was. It's what the priest of the old covenant would wear. So when they saw David was leaping before the ark wearing this, they would say, oh, he's a priest. And isn't it fitting? For he's the one that brings the ark into Jerusalem and makes it holy. What a priest does, sanctifies. He makes Jerusalem the holy city. We still call it to this day the holy city, Jerusalem. And so in these scriptures, we're seeing this come together, these Old Testament prophecies. And you could spend days preaching on the prophecies coming together. I'm only hitting on a very small fraction of the prophecies. No one had been foretold like Jesus. No other birth in the world's history had been foretold the way Jesus' birth was. And so we come then to today's gospel. And this is kind of a fascinating one because, again, if we're Jewish, we're hearing this for the first time. At the end of this gospel passage, we would say, Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant's been found. That is the dwelling place of God. That which bears God's presence has been found. Now, why would they say that? If we go through these brief lines, where do we find Mary going? To the hill country of Judah, precisely where David had found the Ark of the Covenant. And how long was the Ark in that hill country? For David, we're told it was 3 months there. Luke will tell us in a few more lines that Mary would remain with Elizabeth 3 months. When the Ark came to David, what did he say? He said, how can the Ark of the Lord come to me? And what does Elizabeth say when Mary comes to her? How does it happen to me that the mother of the Lord should come to me? Luke is matching these up on purpose. You say, what did David do when the Ark came into his presence? He was leaping with joy in front of it. What does John the Baptist do? He leaps with joy in his mother's womb. For the early Christians, this was an immediate recognition. Oh, Luke's saying, she's the new Ark of the Covenant. She's the one that bears the divine presence to us. And so all these themes about David, tying into David, are meant to be floating in our minds as we enter into these next few days and weeks of the Scriptures. That in this Christmas mystery, everything in the liturgy begins to chant, David, David, David. That Jesus is the new David. At long last, after centuries and centuries of waiting, the Messiah, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christos, the Christ, the King, the Priest, the new David is about to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David.